But 1 Samuel 18, I've been studying 1 and 2 Samuel. Sometimes I read around different places in the Word of God, and I'm in and out of Proverbs and Psalms a lot, and I'm in and out of all the Pauline epistles a lot. And sometimes I need to get back to the Old Testament and do some reading there and some study there. And I love the stories of 1 and 2 Samuel. It's an incredible time in Israel's history. It's a time where Israel's kind of going from some very undivided tribes, loosely affiliated and having the commonality of, okay, we love God and we're God's people, but that's about it. There wasn't a kingdom. They're going from that status. They were kind of helped out by judges, but they were in and out. God was supposed to be their king, but they didn't quite get that. It didn't quite register with them. And then God, because of demand, gives them a king. And then the kingdom as we know it and the lineage of the king of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, is really established through the kingdom of David. And so it's a very interesting time. It's a time of formation in Israel and interesting stories. Some miraculous things happen. And in that, I think, era, there was really a champion, and his name was David. A unique character, Bible character. You could say a lot of negative things about David. But when God looked back on David's life, he summarized it by saying, he's a man after my own heart. Amen. So we find a great example for us of somebody who was godly, somebody who was used of God, but somebody who was not perfect. And I'm so glad that God wrote down David's mistakes for us. Otherwise, we might think you have to be perfect to be used of God. And you don't. You have to be God's to be used of God. You have to be given to God. You have to be dedicated to Him. And there will be ups and downs. There will be mistakes. There will be sin from time to time. But how you deal with that sin and your heart and relationship with God, that's what matters to God. Man, he looks on the outward appearance. But God, he looketh on the heart. And I think that's what we see in David's life. And he was a success spiritually as he walked with God. He was a success physically as he conquered enemies. He was a success socially and financially as King David progressed from a lowly shepherd to a mighty king. He is revered and remembered by those who hear and learn of his legacy. However, of course, David was not perfect. We know that God's blessing and prosperity, however, were on his life in a miraculous way. He went from obscurity to royalty. It's kind of like, it's almost like a fairy tale. Literally, his house was not a very big house in Israel as far as his household and his lineage. He wasn't well known. He wasn't a person of notoriety. And even amongst his family of low esteem, he was the lowest one. He was the small, ruddy one who wasn't glorious in battle, who wasn't esteemed highly by his brethren. In fact, they kind of hated him. Especially when he tried to help out. He tried, oh, let me help, guys. Let me do this. He's like, would you go back to your sheep? He went from that position to being the one who established Jerusalem and the city of David as a royal city. And one who really, really cemented in that region the idea of Israel really owning that land. God had promised it to Abraham, but never had they really eradicated all their enemies. Never had they really conquered the land and lived in victorious prosperity. Never was there really, okay, we're going to develop this. These are our cities, and this is Israel. And you guys, you better back off, Jack, and you're going to threaten us, well, we're going to take care of you. Never had there been that time of unity in Israel where Israel proper was defined, defended, and uplifted as it was. During King David's reign. It was kind of the beginning of it all. It didn't last very long, but David and Solomon, they were in the midst of it all. And he went from that lowly shepherd to that place of royal honor. It's like a fairy book story, a fairy tale. It's like a make-believe story almost. This guy goes from being a shepherd to being the king of Israel. From being the shepherd who plays with a harp to being one of the mightiest soldiers ever known. You think of the conquests of David and you read the details and you kind of let your mind absorb the numerics of it all. How many men that he took out? How many of the enemies of God and Israel that he took out? And we're not talking about like, you know, a sniper from 1,000 yards. We're talking about close hand-to-hand combat where you're just, you know, the width of a sword away from perishing yourself. And he was successful, conquest after conquest after conquest. A great and mighty man. Again, not perfect, not one. His family had some real big problems. But most of the time, when you look at the problems that he had, it's because he kind of went away from his core. And that's what we want to look at tonight. I think 1 Samuel 18, it's kind of almost like a parenthetical idea here in the midst of all these stories. It kind of gives us an insight into why David was so successful, I think. I think it reveals some of the character traits of this honorable man. And something that's always stuck out to me, just speaking to you tonight, based on some study I've done, is David was an honorable man. You watch how David interacted with people. And David's like, oh, let me do you this great honor. Let me help you. Let me bless you. Why? Because you are this person. Because you are the man of God, or because you are anointed of God. David understood authority, the umbrella of authority, and he honored that. And people, therefore, obviously reciprocated and honored him as well. But he honored God and honored others, and that's something I see that is almost completely devoid and missing today. People being honorable people. Well, you don't talk to me! It's all about me. It's all about you defying me, and you have to come under my thumb and do what I want you to do, the way I want you to do it. And I don't care what anybody's... You hear these terms all the time. I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks. David did. David thought... He cared about what God thought. He cared about who God exalted. And he was going to honor what God had done in somebody else's life. So I think these are character traits of an honorable man. Boy, if we would just emulate some of these character traits in our life, maybe we would be honorable men and women of faith. Maybe we would be used of God to change a nation like David was used to change a nation. Maybe we would be used of God to proliferate the Word of God. He was used to write almost the vast majority, almost the entirety of the book of Psalms. He was a sweet psalmist of Israel. He cataloged and authored so many of the Psalms. How many of you like the book of Psalms? Well, I love it. I go there a lot for encouragement, for strength. There's some doctrine there. There's some good things in the book of Psalms. The Holy Spirit of God used David to write the book of Psalms. And he had these characteristics in his life as an honorable man. And I think time after time in these stories in 1 and 2 Samuel, you see how David, he did a lot of good things for the kingdom, right? He kind of started out, kind of came into his fame with what event? Does anybody remember what event? What did he do? Yeah, he killed Goliath. Everybody, the armies of Israel, they're in the valley, and here comes this champion every day, and he defies the God of Israel. He defies King Saul. He defies the armies of Israel, and he's spitting in God's face, and he's saying, you guys can't do anything. Bring me out. We're going to fight. And nobody, everybody was chicken. David's brothers were chicken. All of Saul's captains were chicken. And Saul himself, who stood head and shoulders above the people, who was the most likely? I mean, it says over and over again, several times in these chapters, he stood head and shoulders above the people. That means like, you know, Shaquille O'Neal's walking in. Okay, he's a big guy. Head and shoulders. I'm 6'3". He's 7'3". He's a foot taller than I am. That's head and shoulders. And that's how big Saul was. Big guy. What did he do? He's like, I ain't going out there. Here comes little David. And David was mightily used of God. And he did that. And he delivered Israel. And he's like, here's the head. And he goes out and he delivers Israel from the Philistines time and time again. And what does Saul do? He gets jealous and chases him around. What does David do? Several times, God delivered Saul into his hand. David go down and slit his throat, take care of his enemies. No, he wouldn't touch the Lord's anointed. That's an honorable man. How many times if you had somebody who you, man, this guy's out. He has tried to pin me to a wall 3 or 4 times with a javelin. And I've done nothing but do him good. I'm married to his daughter. He hates my guts. I delivered him from the enemy of the Lord, and all he does is want to kill me. He tells his servants to kill me. He tries to get everybody in the countryside to sniff me out and gives him like a reward to turn me in. And here he is. He's like, cut a little bit off his skirt when he was in the cave. He goes out, and David felt bad about cutting something off the Lord's anointed servant's skirt. That's how honorable he was. Boy, it's missing. It's missing in my life. It's missing, I think, in our culture, isn't it? That we would honor someone else. No, we want what? We want revenge. We want to get back and do... Oh, go ahead, say that. I'm going to say this. Oh, put this one on Facebook. Oh, yeah? The other day. And we have to get back. We have to besmirch someone else's honor. And I want the people to think ill of them. That's not what David did. He's like, no, he's the Lord's anointed. And we take hold of something that doesn't belong to us when we don't treat others with honor. And that is revenge. The Bible says, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. It belongs to God. It's not our department. So stop trying to mete it out to one another. Let God take care of that. We might expect to find a much different list if you're looking for the world's idea of what a great military leader, of what a success story might be. You might find a confident, proud, self-promoting, smart, focused. That's what David was like, right? But we find a little bit different list in 1 Samuel 18. Those items didn't necessarily make the list, but four items did. And it starts in verse 5, our text tonight. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Wisdom is the first character trait I see in this honorable man. Wisdom. Verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely. Verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. Wisdom was a character trait that, and if you were to cross-section David's life in this period in his life, it was unequivocally this man was behaving wisely. He wasn't behaving his age. He wasn't acting like all of the other Jewish little boys at the time and all the guys who were in men of war at the time. He behaved himself differently. Why is he behaving so differently? He has wisdom. How do you get wisdom? You got to learn how to read and use 16-cylinder words and go to college? No. You got to ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven to the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he or she shall receive anything of the Lord. You want wisdom like David? You just got to ask God, the giver of all wisdom. Hey, wisdom dwells with prudence, and they've been with God from the beginning. By wisdom, he founded the earth. By wisdom, he set up the foundations. By wisdom, all the laws of gravity were put in place. By wisdom, yeah, that moon hangs up there. Wisdom is it. He has it and can issue it. For whatever reason, David got wisdom from God. And I'm not sure David wasn't the perfect parent, and you see it over and over, some of the failures, but it's interesting to me that before he was like this incredibly wise man, Solomon, when given the option, asked for one thing. He asked for wisdom. David must have told him, listen, you need wisdom. Somebody told me that in my life one time. They said, you know what, you need to ask God for wisdom. And why I'm so thankful over and over and over and over again that I asked and continue to ask for wisdom. Oh, he was successful. David was a great king of Israel. Yeah, he was just a little shepherd. What made the difference? His character made the difference. And one of the character traits in this man's life was wisdom. You ever see young people, people at large in this day and age making unwise decisions? Much of that sowing and reaping that goes on from unwise decisions could be avoided if they simply had wisdom. Boy, may it be ever the prayer of our heart that we might have wisdom like David had. Another thing I see in this, you know, a lot of these chapters are just going to go through and David did this and Saul did this and Samuel came and said this and all these things. But this 1 Samuel 18 kind of gives us, again, like a peek into the character traits. And one of the other things that jumped off the page, a difference in David's life over so many people that are mentioned in these passages of Scripture, is he had wisdom. And secondly, it says over and over again, he had God's presence and the Lord was with him. Look in verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. Verse 14, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 28, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. Several times in this passage of Scripture, the divine presence of God was noted that it was with King David. And again, anointed king, wrongly accused, wrongly abused, didn't even have the throne yet, but it was anointed king by Samuel and was sleeping out in the woods, out in the boonies from cave to cave, out in the wilderness of Zin, out in all these different places throughout the countryside of Israel and even into the enemy territory from time to time. This guy, anointed but despised, he had God's presence. Didn't really matter where David was, God was with David. Didn't really matter who was chasing after David, God was with David. It didn't matter how you tried to foil David. Several times, even in this passage, Saul was trying, I can get David. I have to kill him. I tried to kill him with a javelin, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to send him out amongst the Philistines. You go fight for me, David. And the Philistines will kill him for me. It's an evil plan. It will work. But it didn't work because he was too wise and he was in God's presence. You know, friend and neighbor, tonight, if you have God with you, we have nothing to fear. See, listen, I'm low, I'm with you always. Now go and preach the gospel unto every creature, into all the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. Go everywhere and do what I'm telling you to do because why? I am with you. We don't need to live in fear. We don't need to live in fear of the future. We don't need to live in fear of others around us. We can have confidence because of the presence of God. And David lived in the presence of God. Oh yes, God's presence is a general doctrine. His omnipresence. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. But it's much more than that. It's not just God is everywhere, but God is with me. When you have a relationship with some, I've been in the same room with people of notoriety. I was in the same room one time with a president, and he had no idea I was there, and it really, I could have been standing McDonald's because it did me no good because I don't have a relationship with that person. When I have a relationship with somebody and I'm in their presence, boy, that changes the dynamics of it. And David knew the Lord, and the Lord was with David. All that comes from that come from being in the King's presence. When you're with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent creator of heaven and earth, boy, that makes a difference in your life. That'll change your life. If you are tonight and tomorrow and the next day walking side by side, shoulder to shoulder with President Trump, it would change your situation. You're like, oh, I've got to go up. Mr. President would say, well, where are you going? Oh, well, you need to go to Walmart? No, I'll just have an assistant go get that for you. Well, here's the money. No, don't take that. I'm taking care of this. You're with the king. You have the king's provision. Oh, I'm not feeling well. Well, hey, we got a staff doctor here. Hey, Brother Sharp's not feeling good. Can you take, why? You get his protection, his provision, because you're with him. Oh, I'm just kind of fearful. Isn't this kind of a dangerous city? Oh, it doesn't. You have the president's protection. You're in his presence. Well, how much more so when you're like David, you're in the King of Kings' presence. You have his provision. You have his protection. You have his watch care. You have his loving kindness. Oh, that we might put an emphasis where David put an emphasis. And may our life have this characteristic. May our life be earmarked by this one thing that those around us could say, the Lord is with so-and-so. Boy, the Lord is with them. God is with them. But so many times we take the cheap sellout and we'll take our sin and then God's presence isn't manifest in our life. And we'll hold on to some little old sin, as the song says, that doesn't amount to a thing at all. And here we are holding on to this little sin. Meanwhile, God's like, I want to be in your presence. I died so fellowship could be restored. You can be with me. You can walk with me. You can talk with me. You can have my provision and my protection. I want to be with you. But let's get that sin. No. There we live as Christians. As Pastor talked about this morning, that's when we are acting like a carnal Christian. But David, in this time of his life, was finding great success. Great things were happening for him. And we see two of the things in his life that we can notice in this chapter are wisdom and the presence of the Lord. You know, when you find success, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your name is. When you find success, what is the tendency and the propensity of man? It's to be proud, isn't it? When we find success, we're kind of like, yeah, I kind of did do that really good. You know, I know. It was a great Sunday school lesson, and I did my best. Right? That's kind of, we would never say that, but that's what happens in here. Especially if you're, how many of you guys are here? Wow, I'm the only one that's here. Listen, if you're a red-blooded American, you're going to have a problem with pride. But David said in two verses here, we see a cross-sampling of his humility. Verse 18, and David said unto Saul, Saul said, listen, what I can do for David, this is one of the tricks he tried, I want David to be my son-in-law because I can see my daughter making eyes at David, and I can see David making eyes at my daughter, and Saul's like, I'm going to use this to my advantage. I'm going to say, listen, you go out and fight for me, and you can have my daughter. So what does David do? David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life that my father's family to Israel that I should be the son-in-law of the king? He's like, David likes her, and she likes David. David's going to say, yep, I'll be the king's son-in-law. And David's like, what in the world? I don't deserve that. This is already after he's been tried to, you know, Saul's tried to murder him, tried to pin him to the wall with a spear. And he's like, no, I can't. I could never. I couldn't be the king's son-in-law. And he says, verse 23, the Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? Now, he did eventually become the king's son-in-law. But his attitude wasn't one of, I deserve this. I am somebody. I killed Goliath. All right? God's using me. God's with me. I have wisdom. No, he was in a status of humility. He had a state of a humble mind. He didn't esteem himself worthy. He didn't esteem himself as a big of queso grande in Israel. No. He's like, listen, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve that. I am just, I'm lightly esteemed. I mean, who am I? Why do I deserve that? And again, another character trait I see missing in many lives today is that of humility. Giving God the glory. Giving others preference. Well, is that a scriptural thing? Well, in honor, preferring one another, the New Testament says. Consider others. Consider those around you. Love thy neighbor. All those are actions and attitudes of humility. To put somebody else's needs and desires and promotion ahead of your own. Humility. And David wasn't just some guy sitting cross-legged in a meditative stance saying, I am spiritual, I am the sweet psalmist of Israel, bring, bring with his harp. And he was a mighty man of valor. And the fourth thing I see as a characteristic, he was boldness. Saul said, go out and fight for me. He did. Verse 27, wherefore David arose, he took the challenge, and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. David was, he killed Goliath, and he went out, and for a dowry for the king, he killed 200 Philistines. He stood up to the enemies of the Lord. He wasn't afraid to go in and out of enemy territory and take care of business. He wasn't afraid to stand up and say, is there not a cause? What, are you kidding me? What, are you really? You're going to defy my king and my God? No, sir. Not on my watch. Yeah, but you're like a young little kid with a slingshot. It doesn't matter. You're not going to do that against my God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Come, let's right now. Right here. Right now. He was bold. He stood up for a cause. So there's a balance between being kind, being loving, being humble, being wise, being with the Lord. That doesn't mean you're going to be a hermit who's a pacifist. It merely means the opposite. It means once you're convinced of something that it is truly right and truly godly and truly what God wants you to do, you're going to go after it no matter what, no matter where, no matter who says you can't do it. You're going to obey that God that you honor. You're going to obey that king that's been walking with you. You're going to listen, and you're going to try and fulfill that will in your own life, no matter what anybody else says. No matter what the odds are against you. No matter how the decks are stacked ill in your favor or against you. No way. It's I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be bold and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. As I walk in humility in the presence of God in a heart of wisdom. These character traits of David were factual. Verse 5 just states it. It's like the author of 1 Samuel says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. It's a fact recorded for us. It was a factual thing several times. Listen, he was wise and the Lord was with him. It was also observable. It wasn't just a factual thing that I can say, Larry Petrie is a man of faith. Larry Petrie is a man of wisdom. It was also observable. What do you mean, Brother Sharp? Well, because other people noticed, especially Saul, in verse 12. And Saul was afraid for David because the Lord was with him and departed from Saul. Verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Verse 28, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. People around David could see the character traits of David shining through. They're like, wow, God's with that guy. Oh, my word. Can you believe how wise he was in that? Look how he's walking so wisely. It was a fact, and it was also something that others observed. It was factual. It was observable. And it's great, isn't it, when that happens? Boy, look how good they're doing. You see a young person, boy, they're following after God, and look how great that is. And that's not, unfortunately, the ending of it, because not everybody appreciates all the good things that you do. Like I said, David killed Goliath. David killed the Philistines. He was Saul's most dedicated servant. He's like, whatever, yes, sir, I'll go out and do it. Yes, sir, built the kingdom, built whatever David wanted him to do. And then he's like, yeah, by the way, after you're done killing all the Philistines in the enemy territory, can you come play me a song? And he was dedicated. Did nothing but good. In a responsible, godly way. If you had, Pastor, a staff member, and you could say about that staff member, he's wise, God is with him, he's humble, and he's bold for God. Would that be awesome? That'd be awesome. That's what David was to Saul. But David's character traits were factual, they were observable, but they were also contemptible. When you live for God and do something for God, get ready. There are going to be those who misunderstand you and, wait for it, hate your guts. That's what happened to David. The person he was outpouring his servitude toward ended up despising him and holding him in great contempt. He was jealous. He was hateful. He was trying to kill him. Verse 8, and Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him because people started noticing, my word, man, Saul slain his thousands, David his ten thousands. He said, they have ascribed unto David ten thousands, and unto me they have ascribed but thousands. Oh, poor guy. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. So get ready. If you're going to have some character traits that are godly and successful, if you want to be successful like King David, if you want to do something great for God, have that wisdom, have that presence of God, have that humility, have that boldness, get ready. You're going to get the eyeball. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Yeah, I'm seeing what you're doing. You ever had somebody give you the hairy eyeball? Happens in church problems a lot. Oop, they come in the auditorium. There they are. The hairy eyeball across the auditorium. It happens a lot. Happens at work. Happens in your community. When you are trying to do something for God and live at a high character level and live at a high level for God, the resistance is coming. Mark it down. And sometimes it comes from the very people that you're trying to help. In this case, look at King Saul. He's like, man, I'm going to kill that guy. Verse 11. And Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Verse 29. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. It's something that festered and something that boiled, and it never did get right. David tried to get it right. with Saul. And Saul's like, yeah, you're right. You cut my skirt off my robe. And you've been more righteous than I. I'm sorry. Come on home. But then he'd get mad at him again. And just kept on back and forth, back and forth. David had this enemy, but you know what? David didn't let it bother him, and David never took advantage of the situation because David was an honorable man, and he always treated King Saul with the respect that he deserved. Even the respect he didn't deserve in others' eyes. David became a target for being such an honorable man. His exceptional character drew the fire of those less disciplined. However, the resistance could not deter David from living the incredible will of God for his life. So I ask you tonight, are you happy where you're at as a Christian? I see a lot of status quo Christianity here and around the world. We just come. Yep, just come because I go to church, it's right to do, and it's right to do, so I'm here. And, you know, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to maybe volunteer for something every now and again. I'm not going to get too crazy. I'm not going to get too crazy either way. And it kind of sounds a little lukewarm, but you know what God says about that. But that's kind of where Christendom is today. Boy, I'd love to see some Davids rise up, wouldn't you? I'd love to see some Davids rise up in our youth group and just, what in the world? They came from little old Clyde, Ohio, and now look what they're doing for God. Look how they're changing America. Look how, I would love to see some kids in this youth group, I'd love to see some people that are members of Harvest Baptist Temple get elected to office and start changing our community. I'd love to see some great things happen. I'd love to see some moms and dads say, you know what, doesn't matter. I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't have all this stuff, but I'm going to raise a family for God. I'm going to teach a Sunday school class for God. You're not going to come teach my kid evolution and teach all this garbage without me trying to put up a fight. Is there not a cause? Well, we can't just say we're going to do that and then go out and live as a lukewarm Christian. We're going to have some character. And some of the character traits cross-sampled for us in this chapter tonight, we need wisdom. You're going to raise that family for God? You need God's help. You don't need to read the book of the month. You don't need to go to the psychiatrist, psychologist. You need to go to God and say, God, would you give me wisdom? I want to raise Weston, Harmony, Lauren, Wade, and Lacey for Christ. Would you help me? Help them? Would you give me the words to say? Would you bless them with wisdom? God, I need you today. God, I need your presence. I want to get everything out of my life that's offending your presence. I want your presence to be manifest in my life. I want people to look at my life and my home and say, God is with him. God is with her. God is with that family. I want your presence. And God, I give you all the glory. I humble myself. But God, I'm going to be bold. This old world's not going to push me into a corner of conformity. They're not going to make me feel bad or fuddy-duddy or old-fat. I don't care. I'm going to stand up for God because I am a born-again Christian, a child of the King. I have nothing to be ashamed of. And you better watch your back, Jack, because, listen, I'm going to stand up for what I believe. There's going to be some enemies made. There'll be some people not happy with you for those stances. But are we experiencing all the blessings in our lives that come from being honorable men and women of God? If not, maybe, just maybe tonight would be a night that you'd come and say, God, I want to be successful for you. I'm not highly esteemed. I don't have the pedigree of so many people, but God, I want to do more for you. I want to do something special for you. I want that to burn in my heart. I want to do something for God. Well, we're going to need to have some character traits like David had. And every time David made a mistake, he stepped away from these character traits. But you know what? Some of them lingered because when David got caught in sin, when he stepped away from wisdom and when he stepped away from God's presence and when he made bad choices, he always came back. And when he was confronted with his sin, David's like, you know, you're right. Creating me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. That humility came back, and so did that power, and so did that great blessing. Sowing and reaping is still in action. There were still problems, but David was mightily used. You can't dispute it. He was mightily used to establish a kingdom in Israel, and he's a prophet who we look back to today as the man after God's own heart. And maybe, just maybe, some of these things in your life are missing or weak. Maybe tonight you'd like to come and talk to the Lord about that. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day.